This important podcast is brought to you by the Health Ranger Store, offering a wide selection of prepping and survival products, including nutritional solutions and storable certified organic superfoods. Check out our full selection at healthrangerstore.com/prep with Mike. Thank you for your support.
Mike Adams.
Are you kidding me? Do you think that disease is a spontaneous, random chance? No, disease has a cause.
The Health Ranger Report.
If you don't believe in cause and effect, then you don't believe in reality. Every disease has a cause.
It's time for the Health Ranger Report.
The Health Ranger Report.
And now from naturalnews.com, here's Mike Adams.
All right, the theme of today's podcast is, well, it's about the lack of preparedness of everybody else and what that means to you. And I've got some new information to bring to you today on this. As you know, just a little background on this. Oh, and by the way, thank you for joining me. Mike Adams, the Health Ranger here. Listen to more of my podcasts at healthrangerreport.com. But the background for all of this is, of course, we're headed into a major global systemic debt collapse, which will, you know, it's going to bring down the stock market. It's going to bring down real estate prices. Some cities will plunge 60%, like maybe San Francisco or Toronto, for example, Sydney, places like that, Rio. Look for a 50 to 60% plunge, maybe even 65% in some places. We're looking at a global commodities crash and, of course, a global deleveraging or a contraction of the money supply because of the elimination of the debt. The virtual debt, which is it's a mathematical creation of the derivative system and the way that financial instruments are created on top of other instruments, derivatives of derivatives and so on. All of that is going to collapse and unravel, and the day is rapidly approaching. I'm not going to go into detail why. You can listen to other podcasts on my website if you want to understand why that's going to happen. But this is more about the aftermath of it and the fact that we now know, thanks to a new study that came out, I think, last week. I don't have the source on it, but you can go to naturalnews.com if you want the source. Said that one in four Americans has not a single dollar saved for emergencies. In other words, it was actually 24% of the population can't come up with a dollar in an emergency, not a single dollar. They are living hand to mouth. It's like a third world existence, and it's 24% of the U.S. population, according to this study. Now, that means that these people have no savings, they have no assets, they are living either paycheck to paycheck or food stamp credit to food stamp credit. A lot of them don't have jobs, but even those that do are steeped in debt and have no assets really whatsoever. They're just, they may drive a car, they may live in an apartment, but they don't have any assets. It's just debt and obligations. So they don't have a single dollar to their name. When it all hits the fan, people who are in that position are very dangerous because they immediately become desperate. They immediately turn to stealing or bullying others to give them stuff that they need to survive. So there are a lot of people in that category right now who are not preppers. They think preparedness is a silly idea. They might even make fun of you if you're into preparedness. Say, oh, what do you think? The sky is going to fall? You know, that kind of thing. But when things go wrong and the tap water doesn't work anymore, or the power grid goes down, or the food stamp credit debit cards aren't automatically reloaded from Washington, all of a sudden the sky is falling for them. And they will freak out, even though you won't because you are prepared. They will totally freak out and they will become desperate and they will become a danger to everyone else. So that's very important. It's worse in the United States than almost anywhere else in the world. Most other countries have, well, first world countries have higher savings rate than the United States. The United States has really, I think, a negative savings rate at this point, whereas countries like China have, what, like a 20 to 30% savings rate. And even, you know, Taiwan, Japan, a lot of Asian cultures have very, very high savings rates. Even European countries have higher savings rates like you see in Germany, which my guess is it averages, you know, 5 to 10%, something like that. But in America, there's almost no savings going on across the board if you average it all out. So people aren't putting money aside. They don't really have assets anymore. what they have is a lot of debt. They have a lot of obligations. They have, you know, things they owe rather than spare cash and spare assets and things that they can convert into cash very quickly. So this is a huge problem. Now, the second thing, and this is really shocking as well, I served as an assistant instructor to a gun training class recently that was training some people who were on the younger side, I'll just say, more millennial-aged people who live in cities. And I was shocked to discover during this class that many of them simply do not have the grip strength or the upper body strength to rack the slide of a pistol. And this was rather surprising to me, and it showed me that many of the people, especially millennials who live in cities and they've grown up in cities and they've just been playing on the Xbox their whole life, they don't spend any time outside. They don't have a lot of hands-on skills or really any hands-on skills. They don't know how to change a tire, for example, on a car. They may know how to drive a car, but not know how to change a tire. Well, a lot of these people who are, you might call, metrosexuals, if you want to get on the political spectrum, they tend to be very liberal politically. They tend to be very, you know, progressive-minded politically, but they have very few skills other than virtual things like how to use Snapchat, how to use social media, how to use Facebook, their friends network, and all that. But when it comes to handguns, you know, one of the most basic things you have to do is rack the slide of a gun. So whether you're using a Glock or an M&P shield or whatever, any kind of a semi-auto handgun, I'm not talking about a revolver here. I'm talking about, you know, like Glocks. You need to be able to rack the slide. It takes a little bit of strength, but plenty of women can do it. There were women in the class that could do it just fine as well. But strangely, a lot of the younger people who were in their 20s, when you're supposed to be strong, like you're supposed to be athletic and fit, you know, from 18 to 35, those are your peak years of athletic performance. And here I am almost 50. And apparently what I found out is my upper body strength and grip strength is like 500% higher than these young millennials who are in their 20s, who are supposed to be super fit, but they can't rack the slide. They don't have the grip strength. They don't have the finger strength because, you know, typing on a keyboard and thumbing your way through a bunch of text on a mobile phone, that is not exercise. And so, whereas I'm working on a farm, you know, I'm moving bales of hay, I'm working with animals and donkeys, I'm working on tractors, I'm doing, you know, I'm working on firearms, doing firearms repair and lots of things. And what I've come to find out, what just shocked me in terms of the realization, is that many young people today, especially those who live in cities who tend to be Democrats or progressives, when it all hits the fan, they are absolutely unable to pick up a firearm and do anything useful with it because they don't have the strength. They flat out don't have the upper body strength to do it. And so now a lot of them think they're really good at guns because they've been playing Call of Duty on their Xboxes or their PCs or whatever. They play video games and they think they're awesome. And this is also indicative of millennials. They think they're awesome when they have skills in fake worlds, like delusional fantasy worlds, like Call of Duty video game. And they think, oh, they can put the crosshairs on a target. They can, you know, click the mouse and they can win the high score as a sniper. But you hand them a simple pistol like a Glock 19, a little 9mm pistol, and they can't rack the slide. So they're in for a real surprise. But what it means in terms of practical things is that the cities are full of people, generally speaking, depends on which city, but they're full of people who are incapable of defending themselves, who are incapable of picking up a firearm and using it to protect their life or to stop violent criminals or to protect a community or a building. They will be so quickly overrun by gangs because gangbangers actually have hand strength because, you know, from fighting and all the different things that they do, they actually have more strength. So keep all of this in mind as you are thinking about preparedness and how many people are prepared versus how many are not prepared Definitely keep all that in mind. Because a lot of people don't know how to do things, how to solve problems. They don't have real world skills. They are not prepared. They don't have any money set aside. They are going to become the problem, the big problem. And so your preparedness needs to consider more than just your own supplies and your own food or self-defense or things like that. You also need to very seriously consider the lack of preparedness and the lack of strength and the lack of skills in all of the other people around you. And the bottom line conclusion from all of this, the takeaway of this podcast is you've got to get out of the city. And I've said that before, and many people who follow my work have moved out of the cities. And good job. You know, you're much better off. The cities are going to become death zones in certain places, certain cities. Well, I guess Chicago is already basically the mass murder capital of America. But what I'm saying is a lot of cities can become death zones. And the farther away that you are from those cities, the safer you're going to be. And make sure that your lifestyle involves something physical, taking care of animals, running a tractor, working on a farm, carrying buckets of food for your animals, or moving around grain for your horses, whatever. The more physical you can stay in your day-to-day activities, the better off you're going to be, especially as you get up there in the years. Keep staying physical. You don't have to go crazy with it, but you don't want to have a sedentary lifestyle where you lose all that upper body strength or you lose your grip strength. Because grip strength, the ability to carry gear, the ability to even wear a chest rig with ammo on it if you have to one day, these are all very, very important skills. And city people don't have those skills, which is why they will, of course, not be prepared for some of the things that are coming their way. So one more reason to live in the country and stay physical and take care of animals and do all these things that I love to talk about. You know, picking fruit, planting trees, gardening is very physical. Grow your own food. All these things are very physical and they can help you in so many ways that you may not have even thought of. So when you're pushing that rake in the garden and you're hoeing weeds out of the garden, you're doing more than just hoeing weeds. You are exercising your upper body so that you can handle a firearm when the time comes. And that's a very important skill. It's like wax on, wax off, Karate Kid style stuff, right? Everything that you're doing has multiple uses. So just something to keep in mind. You know, the gardener is more prepared than the online gaming champion, frankly. The simple gardener who's hoeing weeds knows more and can survive more than the online world champion of Call of Duty. That's astonishing, and that's something to keep in mind. Thank you for listening. This is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, for healthrangerreport.com.
Learn more at healthrangerreport.com.
When it comes to prepping, you not only need good products that can help keep you alive, awake, aware, and nourished during difficult times, you also need products you can trust. At the Health Ranger store, we do extensive laboratory testing using an in-house lab that's ISO accredited. It's inspected, it's audited. It's a 2-year process to even get that accreditation. We use multiple mass spec instruments, state-of-the-art science. I'm a published science author as well and a patent holder on several technologies, some of which we use variations of in our lab. The purpose of this lab is to help you make sure you get clean foods, superfoods, storable foods for emergency preparedness and survival use. We have a certified organic lab-tested, what's called Ranger Bucket collection of storable foods with some survival gear in the buckets to help you even boil water and cook those foods and so on. It's a fantastic product. We can barely keep it in stock, even during normal times. In a crisis, we'll be wiped out of this product because it actually takes us a lot of time to make those products. But if they're in stock, you can get them now at healthrangerstore.com/prepwithmike. In fact, go to that URL, healthrangerstore.com/prepwithmike, and you'll see some of our survival and preparedness supplies, including iodine, colloidal silver products and gel first aid products, storable foods, superfoods, medicinal herbs for first aid, and much more. We have a lot of products for you to help you be self-reliant, to be safe, to survive difficult circumstances, natural disasters, and all kinds of things. If you want to get prepared, do it with us at the Health Ranger store so that you know you're getting safe, clean, laboratory-verified preparedness foods, supplements, and other related products. Again, the URL is healthrangerstore.com/prepwithmike. All one word, no spaces. Prep with Mike. I'm Mike Adams. Thank you for your support.